you're listening to the Crazy Over 40s Live podcast, a podcast designed to revolutionize the way we think about our midlife. Yes, let's celebrate this beauty of this transformative period. It's time to embrace our curiosity and unleash our desires and rediscover the power of our adolescence. Yes, we're doing it all over again. I promise you, on every episode, we shall be exploring everything from relationships, emotional well-being, sexual empowerment, to financial stability, just overall wellness. Each episode is packed with empowering insights, actionable advice, and heartfelt stories from real people who have conquered the challenges of the midlife. Expect tears, laughter, and joy. So join me every Thursday, Caroline Brown. And don't forget to share and subscribe so you can keep updated on all the episodes as and when they become available. Available on all platforms. Listen in to the next episode. Listeners, you're welcome back for another wonderful episode on the Crazy Over 40s Live podcast. I say that myself, but it's true. You know why I think it's wonderful? Because you say so. So thank you very much for all your comments, your lovely reviews, and the interaction. So there are questions sometimes I pull out to my listeners, and they wonderfully reply, and thank you very much for doing all those things. But also, each episode has a Q&A, so I like to know what you think. So please remember to leave a question if you want some podcast episodes that you feel we haven't covered just yet. So please let me know about that too. The Crazy Over 40s Live podcast, and that is fortres@gmail.com. And on today's episode, we shall be thinking about the other side of greatness. What other side should there be? Lessons on a journey from a six-figure debt to a seven-figure success. And Dr. Gillard draws from her own personal experience of overcoming financial crisis and shares her journey through storytelling and thought-provoking questions, which I hopefully she will answer through me with an unwavering passion she has with financial literacy and stability. And hopefully this will provide you with practical guidance on changing your mindset and building a more supportive network and harnessing the power of consistent and small intentional actions, which sometimes we actually miss, not only during our young adulthood, but actually in our adulthood, when we've actually got a family, some of us, and raising other families as well, because we are existing in a kind of sandwich kind of experience at the moment, where we are taking care not only of our children, we're taking care of our parents, but also we're taking care of extended family members as well. Is it the right time to actually change careers? Well, actually, she actually changed her path, and so because of this, she was able to change around her mental wellness, physical wellness, and actually create financial freedom, which she didn't think that was possible. She shall be explaining more after the interview. Don't go anywhere except to get your coffee, your tea, or even a little glass of wine. That would do, wouldn't it? Sit back and enjoy. After the interlude, we shall be joined by Dr. Gillard. I'm your host, Caroline Brown. Dr. Tawana Gillard has now joined us. And Dr. Tawana, can you tell us a little bit more about what led you to this point in your over 40s, discovering what to do next with what you thought may have been the journey before you started out and what it is like for you now?
Hello, my name is Dr. Tawana Gillard, and I am a board-certified obstetrician gynecologist. I'm also an author of my first debut book, On the Other Side of Greatness, Lessons on the Journey from Six-Figure Debt to Seven-Figure Success. I am a speaker. I have a TEDx talk coming up in March. I do all the things and have a passion for financial freedom and mental stability and just pushing toward your goals and falling forward in fear.
Lovely. Well said. What can I say more about that? I mean, I did give you an introduction before the interlude, but it's always lovely to have an introduction from my guests to get a kind of a flow about like the conversation that's going to happen. And one of the things that you mentioned about your journey, which is very yes. different to what you started off. Can you explain a little bit about what that journey was like for you and what age did you take that turn?
Okay, well, you know, I don't know if the journey has changed, but, you know, as each journey, we have our turns and twists and the road is never straight, right?
Yeah, true.
So I started with the passion to be a doctor, and that had more to do with my own medical history. I was born with a congenital heart block. And so one of the main persons who inspired me in life was my pediatric cardiologist. My family always wanted to kind of treat me like I was in a glass house and, oh, she can't do this, she can't do that. And he always empowered me and was my advocate and said, Tawana knows her limitations. So that passion changed from being a teacher to a doctor early on in elementary school. And what I told myself, as a physician, I can be a part of the process of healing and also be a teacher and be an advocate, just like Dr. Strong was for me. So I went on to become a physician and was on that course, chose, you know, obstetrician gynecology, which is a very stressful field. And I had more health issues. And so I ended up losing my colon to ulcerative colitis. And decided just the stress of being in that field was a little too much for me. So I transitioned to working from home for an insurance company. And just, I always had this passion to help others. I've always been a great speaker from what I'm told. And so I just wanted to explore more. You know, as you go through things and have these life scares with your health, you realize you only get to travel this journey once. And so I was like, you know, I am in my 40s, leading to my 50s, I'm now 51. And I said, you know, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go to part-time because I have paid off all my debt. I got to a place where I was, you know, financially independent in my 40s, late 40s. And I wanted to write a book. I wanted to just make myself more available to tell my testimonies and just to help others on this course, because I think it does a disservice to ourselves and to mankind not to share our struggles and the journeys that we've been on. So that's kind of how I got to where I am today.
You know, what inspired me about your journey is the key lessons that you've learned along the way. Can you share us what those key lessons were for you, and can you share them with us?
Right. Some of the key things I think I've learned along the way is never too late to make change. Also, it's important to have like-minded people around you to help you on your path and your journey. It's important to be transparent about your struggles and to understand that it takes a team to help you on your course, because we don't come on this earth knowing it all. And so for us to feel that there is some lack because we don't understand a process, or we don't understand, well, how do I do better with my finances? How do I get the help I need for my depression? And so we keep ourselves in these boxes because we feel it's an embarrassment to ask for help. So I think so. Those are some of the things that I would say have been life lessons. I love to tell people, and I have to tell myself this daily, fall forward in fear. Even the greatest people that you see have fears, have doubts, but it's okay as long as you can turn that energy into something positive and keep moving forward.
And I like the way you explain that, because you do talk about on the other side of greatness, don't you, in your book?
Yes.
And, you know, you highlight the journey from six-figure debt to a seven-figure success. And one would say, well, you've gone into medical world. Obviously, they must pay well. Why did you decide to then see that this was a path that you needed to take, and why did it impact you that way, even though you're in a career that one would say, okay, you're set up for life. You know, you're in a stable career, finances wouldn't look so bleak. But there's more to that. When you train, there is a lot of investment before you get to the other side of your training, isn't it?
A lot of investment. And right. I didn't have that road that didn't have any bumps and bruises along the way. Okay. And I came from humble beginnings. So even though I had an uncle who is a physician as well, you don't really discuss like, well, what does it take? You know, you just make this assumption like, oh, I'm going to be a doctor. All this money. I don't have to worry about, you know, money and debt problems. I won't have those issues. I'll be fine. But that's not so. I know so many of my colleagues who live check to check to check. Because even if you bring in a lot, if a lot is going out, you're not in a secure place. So when I was in medical school, I was there. I didn't complete medical school for the designated 4 years. It was 6 years for me. And so each of those years, I was taking out the max amount of money that they would allow me to take out because of this assumption. Oh, well, I'm going to become a doctor. I can pay all that back. I'm not worried about it. But that is a falsehood that people need to understand that can trap you. And so by the time I came out, I had probably close to $300,000 in debt or growing and all of the interest growing. And when I got to residency, I went into this fear mode and stuck my head in the sand because they start coming after you about making payments. And I was like, oh, they'll have to wait until I become a, quote, real doctor, making real money. Because when you're in training, you're not making a lot of money. People have this assumption like, no, you're probably making, back then I probably was making maybe $30,000 a year. And so 6 months before I was to graduate, they came after me with a vengeance and stripped me. My credit score went from the 700s down to 380. I didn't even know a credit score that low existed. All of the penalties, the lawyers, even the United States government was coming after me for all this money I owed. And so by the end of it, it probably was close to, you know, 400K end up having to pay back. And it's not easy to say, well, you're a doctor, you can afford to pay that back, but you're making a salary and you have all of this debt. And then I have the penalty of not paying that debt. So I can't purchase anything. It was at a point I couldn't even get my transcript from my medical school. And so you are trapped. And so you're scrambling instead of going into jobs that you are passionate about in an area that you want to be. It got into be this rat race of who's going to pay me the most so I can pay back this debt. And so a lot of people are very unhappy. And then people look at it, oh, well, everyone has debt. And they just carry that chain around for the rest of their lives. And they continue to build more debt with trying to keep up with the Joneses. Oh, well, I'm a doctor. I have to have this big, big house. I have to have this fancy car. And you buy into this American way of living and you're unhappy. So I don't think my message is directed just to physicians. It's to anyone. You can talk to people who have student loan debts in the six figures who, you know, are teachers in any profession. But the thing is, there is a way out. Yes, you have to do the work. Yes, you have to look at how you're spending. You have to look at your money mindset around money and what are you doing with it? A lot of times the fear and the pain and the hurt that you're feeling behind having all the debt, you end up spending more. Oh, we only live once. I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna go on this trip. Instead of making smart decisions to dig yourself out of a hole so you can have what I call financial freedom, and be free to make the choices that you want to make for your life.
Because even here in the UK, the junior doctors are striking because they say they only receive something equivalent to £15 an hour, which is obviously very, very low considering the amount of investment, as you said before. I mean, not only in financial investment, your personal life, your social life, takes a lot of time away. One of the things that you mentioned also about keeping up with the Joneses, do you think sometimes there's a little bit of shame that goes with that? The fact that you have this career, but yet you kind of behind closed door, you don't have much to show for it.
Oh, I absolutely believe that. And it's that feeling of, my gosh, like I have given all of these years for this profession. And look at where I am, in a boatload of debt, in a house I truly can't afford. It's a car that I probably should have waited, 5-10 years before I got it. And it's just this crumbling. I think it's almost like truly being back into this glass house that you're living in, this glass house that's so fragile. The least bit of wind will blow it down. And so I think people have to realize that, yes, we've made an investment to an institution, but now it's time to make an investment into yourself. And what is it going to take? Yes, you can give back, you can help people, but what is it going to take for you to be happy, for you to be happy? Not your family, not the community, not your colleagues, yourself. And you have to make those hard decisions to make your life better and to set you up for your future.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that, because that and also made me think about women like yourselves who sometimes have to forfeit, like, when do they start a family if they choose to want to start mm-hmm. a family?
Right.
And the setback that means for them. And also people who of different ethnic backgrounds, particularly those who obviously face different oppressions, that also having an impact on exactly can they continue with this? When do they say, okay, enough is enough? And also carrying, I suppose, the generational want to generational change. You know, some people want generational change and feel it's upon them to make those changes. And with that comes education, with that comes a certain career that changes the map, if you like, of the family and the family's direction to come. It's a lot of pressure.
It is. It is. I totally agree. But sometimes we look at generational change as climbing that ladder of success and getting these, high paying jobs and, oh, I'm going to make things better for my family. But if we aren't making those money mindset changes, if we aren't educating ourselves about finances, understanding what to do with the money that you're making, you're not really improving the generations. Yes, on the outside, it may look like that. But if at the end, you are at a point where you can't retire because you made all of that money, but you spent all of that money for outward show and you didn't build a legacy for yourself and for your children and your children's children, what's more important? Having the fancy career or building the generational wealth to help your family be secure in hard times?
And as you nicely put it, generational wealth comes in many ways, doesn't it? Including
it
health.
Does.
Right.
It does.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, we do inherit traumatic experiences if we don't sort of take care of ourselves and teach our offspring and families to take care of themselves too. What is in your book? Can you take from your book that can obviously get people started to think about things like this?
The biggest thing I want people to take away from the book is looking at your financial DNA, understanding how you got to where you are. And a lot of times we don't go back and take a look back at the generations that came before us. For me, as an African-American female, my ancestry started in this country as slaves, slavery. And so then you go into, yes, slavery was abolished. And then a lot of ancestors went into being sharecroppers. With that mentality, you go into this scarcity mindset. Because as we know, in the sharecropper system, it was very similar to slavery. It was never meant to benefit the people who were working the land. So if you're always in a mindset of just living from day to day to day for survival, then you can pass that on to the generations. And so you can see that in your community. Like, yes, I see people, they have jobs, good jobs, but they're just constantly just living in the moment. And then you have to look at yourself. Well, did I take on those characteristics because that's what I grew up around? Our family never got together to discuss finances. I had food, I had clothes on my back, I was fine, but I never understood about a 401k and how do you invest in the stock market, because my family and the community never talked about that. They never discussed that. So really take a look at that heritage that you have and see how it has affected you up until this point. Then glean from it what you can. Okay, those are some traits that I may not want to pass on to my children, and those are some things that I need to change in the life that I am living. Look at the positive side of it as well. I always say I got my pit bull tenacity from my grandfather. Like, hard times can come, but I tell you, I'm going to make it through because I have seen others work very hard to live day to day. So there's positive and negatives that you can glean from the past. Use that energy to build your future. Realize where you have lack as far as education and finances. Fix that lack and to continue to grow a team and put people around you to help you to build the other side of greatness that you want for yourself, because everybody's other side of greatness is different. Mm-hmm. And so I would want them to take that and to also give themselves grace in the process. Stop beating yourself up about what you've done in the past. I used to do that a lot. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. Why did I make that mistake? Well, it was made. So we learn from it and we move on. And it's okay to move on. You're still worth the fight. If you woke up this morning, then there's still life in you, and continue to fight and to strive.
Nicely put. You know, what are the parting words for my listeners, and where can they find your book and more about you?
Okay, parting words. Once again, I want this to stay in their spirit. Fall forward in fear. No matter what doubts come to you, continue to press your way to make a better future for yourself and the generations to come. My book can be found on Amazon in paperback, ebook, and Audible. It's also at Barnes & Noble's in paperback and ebook. I can be found on most social media platforms. My website is cornerstoneofwellness.com. I have a Facebook page for cornerstoneofwellness.com. I have a personal page under Tawana Gilyard. I'm on Instagram. What is it? The other one. I always forget because there's so many.
Oh, sorry. Is it Twitter or X? Sorry.
Not those. What's the other one? TikTok. I'm on TikTok.
Oh, you're on TikTok. Oh, my goodness. You're ahead of the game.
I don't know about that, but I'm on there.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. You know, thank you so much for coming on. I would like to welcome you on again and to share much of your knowledge on financial literacy. And I know you're a faith-based speaker as well.
So
it'd be lovely to hear more about that. My listeners will love to hear about all about that and something motivational to get them going for 2024. So thank you so much for coming on the Crazy Over 40s Live podcast.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Dr. Tawana Gilyard left her details. You want to get hold of all my guests? You can. Instagram, Facebook, thecrazyover40slive.com website. Want to know what to do with the New Year's weight? Is it to do with lifestyle? Is it to do with hormones? Is it to do with genetics? Motivation? What is the answer? Are there myths around this? Well, we shall be joined by Dr. Catherine Toomer. She's here to tell us exactly how we can overcome some of those myths, and also what is the right way to see weight. And is there such thing as weight loss, or is there just something called healthy weight? Right, you shall be here on the next episode. Don't go anywhere but here every Thursday. Don't forget to share and subscribe so you can keep updated on all the episodes as and when they become available. I'm your host, Caroline Brown.